On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, today's episode of the podcast is going to be another group episode. I'll have the guys introduce themselves and then we'll get going. So we'll go Casey first, Joe second, name or position within the org, and then we'll get going, guys.
Sure. Casey Callison with the Toronto Blue Jays, and I'm with our AA New Hampshire Fisher Cats this year.
I'm Joe Hudson, AA strength coach for the Red Sox up in Portland, Maine.
Guys, I'm really excited for this one. The theme today is going to be have some feel. And this is something that has been advised a number of times on this episode. And if you've been in professional baseball, you've heard the term, you know, have some feel. But I don't know if anybody's ever expressed like what that is. So the goal here today is one, to have a little bit of fun, maybe talking about some times we didn't have some feel. And then two, to educate others on what it means to have some feel so that, you know, a young coach coming in can maybe avoid some bad situations, or they can understand when somebody's telling them to have some feel that like they're just trying to teach them something. So first and foremost, kick it off. What does have some feel mean to you guys?
Casey, you want to go first? You want me to go?
Sure, I can go first. I would say for me, having some feel is just kind of like knowing the situation and environment that you're in. There's a time to do certain things, and then there's also a time to not do that. So I'd say, like, simply put, let's say if I'm working with a new coach that's come to the org, and maybe they're new to baseball as well too, that would kind of be like some of the first things we establish is like, hey man, you got to have some feel around here with certain things. So yeah, knowing the situation.
Yeah, I think trying to actually put a definition to it, I've thought a lot about it, and really what I kind of kept falling back to as a definition is really acknowledging what is ideal and versus what's realistic given the current situation you're in, right? So you know, feel is kind of a term that can be used in a lot of different ways, but I think overall, like, for me, it's like understanding like what's ideal in the moment versus what's realistic in the moment, given whatever situation you're in, right?
I'm excited for this because I'm going to throw my own two cents in every once in a while. So my thoughts on this one were three C's: common sense, common courtesy, and court awareness. So you guys talk about like knowing the situation, knowing the environment. Like, to me, that's court awareness, like understanding what's going on around you. Common courtesy is like if a player is coming to the food line, you know, the spread line, like let them go in front of you, or if somebody's coming, like hold the door open for them, say thank you to somebody. Like, you know, it's hard to like realize this, but sometimes common courtesy doesn't really happen in a clubhouse just because we're around each other so much, like we talk shit to each other. But like if a guy picks up the cones for you after he's done running, like just say thank you, you know, things like that, that they're like just little things that help you get some buy-in and get some street cred and get guys to trust you. And then common sense, like don't do stupid things, right? Like if it seems stupid, it's probably stupid, right? Like it's common sense isn't so common. My old man tells me all the time, but if you have some common sense, common courtesy, and some court awareness, I think you'll cover a lot of your bases when it comes to having some feel. So just my two cents, but okay. So let's discuss first. Well, I'll ask you guys, do you want to talk about when we had bad feel or good feel first?
You can go bad feel first.
Bad feel first. Okay. I'll kick us off. So All-Star break 2016 or 2017, we were in Binghamton right before the All-Star break. And, you know, the day before the break, like guys aren't really expecting to do anything. They're kind of just showing up to play. And the coaches had a prank where my wife was in town visiting. So instead of walking over early with them, I just took the bus. And they didn't tell me they were walking over early. So when I got in, they're all like, dude, you're late. What the fuck's going on? What's wrong with you? You're not committed. Like, you don't care about this. And I got really hot. And so I had running scheduled that day. And if I had some feel, I would have banged the running because it was the day before the All-Star break. But I was pissed off at the coaches and I took it out on the players. And I was like, fuck it, we're running today. Like every day we have a chance to get better. Like, I don't care. And the guy's like, have some feel, dude. Like, it's a day before All-Star break. You're being a hard ass. And I'm like, no, we're doing some fucking running today. Let's go. So everybody's pissed at me for that day. So that was like one of my big, like, you know, I didn't have feel moments. Like, court awareness of the situation. We're off for the next 3 days. Like, guys are kind of checked out anyways. Like, plan something hard and then take it away from them and you're like the king, you know what I mean? So that was my moment of having some bad feel. There's other moments. We can keep sharing stories, but that's the one I want to kick off with.
That's a good one. Joe, I guess I can go next. There's definitely a couple of them, but I remember this one wasn't too long ago. So it was out, we're in a game, and we had a guy kind of like hop into a game quick because we had somebody go down for some reason. And I didn't really get a chance to like see the full play, but this guy had like ran out of ball to first. And again, like kind of looked like he did it funny. And, you know, trainer goes out there, checks on, they end up pulling him out of the game. And I just kind of like obviously concerned, like it's obviously not the strength coach's job to go and like diagnose things. But again, it's just like once things kind of cool down in the dugout, I went over to the guys like, hey, man, like, you know, what kind of happened there? How did it feel? And he just kind of like, you know, plainly faced, just looked at me. He's like, I pulled my hamstring, Casey. That's what it felt like. And I just afterwards on that, I was like, oh, I feel like an idiot, like just trying to help, like didn't fully see it. So I didn't know how bad it was. But that was something where it's like my stomach immediately sank and I was like, God, I'm an idiot. Like, why did I do that? But and I think that kind of goes into some of the questions that we're talking about later. But it was like I wanted to have feel to like see if I could do anything with him in the moment to see if I could help. But yeah, he just immediately shot that down. He's like, nope, like it is what it is. And like, yeah, so that was kind of funny. But like, again, my stomach just sank when he said that. I was like, oh, geez.
Yeah, I feel like we've all had that. Like you get so clouded and like, cause you give a shit about the players and you care about them, where sometimes like you just overlook the fact that like, yeah, they're probably in a moment where they're pissed off and you just want to help them. Mm-hmm. And then after the fact, you kind of get brought back to reality, like, nah, gotta wait. My go-to feel story is from my first year in baseball. I've probably mentioned it somewhere along the way. I'm sure some of you guys might have heard it, but you know, my first year in baseball, I worked in I worked in rookie ball in the Penn League, and we were in Connecticut, Norwich, and it was like a rainy kind of day. It was wet. We knew we were going to play the game, but it was one of those like very little on-field work, but we're still going to get a stretch in, you know, play catch and stuff like that. And, you know, being my first year in pro ball, I was 23, and you know, we have kind of some standards like, oh, you have to check these boxes, and you know, you need to do these kind of sprints this many times a week, and you need to do agility this many times a week. And I don't know, it might have been a Friday or something like that. And I'm like, okay, today was like a scheduled agility day. Like, we need to do agility, but it's raining, or it's wet out. So, you know, I would normally do it over here, but because it's wet, like, I don't want to do it on the track because like I don't want guys to slip out. So that's smart, right? Like make an adjustment. That's really smart as a first year guy. I'm thinking ahead, you know, thinking ahead that I'm not gonna get guys hurt. So I'm like, all right, where's the best spot to do it? So we're doing stretch like right down the third baseline, like in front of the dugout, like between that chunk of grass between the dugout and the third baseline. Right, where the logos go, where they put the advertising, like all this shit. It was driest spot. I'm like, perfect. Like, I'm going to be a hero. I'm thinking ahead. I'm still going to get our agility in on the first day. Like, on the day it was supposed to get in, even though it was raining, I came up with a solution. Like, man, I'm killing it. Like, I'm probably going to get called up to the big leagues, like, because of this thought process, right? So I'm like, all right, guys, we're doing our agilities, like agility shuttle stuff. And guys are changing direction. They're freaking tearing up the grass, like right in front of our dugout. And nobody gets hurt. We check the box, and I turn around, and the head ground screw guy has like the like pissed off face I've ever seen in my life. And he's like, "What the F do you think you're doing? Like, you're tearing up the grass right here." And I'm like, "Bro, like, I'm doing my job. Relax. Like, oh, you did it. We're good now." And I walk back up, and the guy was like motherfucking me the whole time. And so one of our coaches like pulled me aside and was like, "Hey, dude, like, that wasn't a good move." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And he's like, "You literally tore up the grass right in front of the dugout where like everybody who's at the game is going to notice that the grass is all torn up. Like, you deserve to get yelled at for that. Like, you need to have some feel." And I was like, oh, that's when I started to like open my eyes up a little bit more to like the bigger picture of everything else that goes on. Cause like, you know, if you've ever been to Norwich, like, it's a pretty steep, you know, stadium. So like you look down and it's like right like in your vision that the grass is all torn up there, and all, it's almost like the focus goes down to that spot there. And I went up to the top and looked at it and was like, oh shit, like, let's see what's going on here. So that certainly long-winded is definitely like my most memorable like not have feel moment. And you know, I tell every single one of our interns, assistants, like that story, just because like it happens at such an early age for me, and like really early in my career, and was kind of a big one, that like it will always stay with me. Even, you know, it's 10 years later now, it's still the first one I think too.
I feel like a lot of field stories have to do with like the field and the ground screw and like, like you said, Joe, the bigger picture. So I have another one. We can keep just sharing stories. But so we would work out when I was in Portland, we would work out on the field sometimes, and we would do like med ball launch and then go chase it. And then it was like myself, the manager, pitching coach, and then like sometimes hitting coach would join in, or one of the coordinators. Right. And we would just have like a group workout. Like, I would throw the med ball. Next guy would run, grab it, throw the med ball. Next guy run, grab it, throw the med ball. So we started doing farmer carries, and we, you know, 135 on the trap bar, and it was like carry it across the field, like pole to pole. Having some feel would have been doing it on the warning track. So nobody dropped it or anything, but I kind of realized like, well, fuck, if we drop this, like the ground screw is going to be pissed. So let's do it on the warning track. Okay, perfect. No problem. So then I don't know, maybe it was my idea, maybe it was somebody else's, but we had an idea to put a bar on our back, and then have bands with kettlebells. So, you know, you walk and like it shakes. And for whatever reason, we didn't want to use the warning track. I think because, you know, the curve, we wanted a straight line. So we're walking pole to pole. And one of the coaches, like, he's walking and it starts shaking. And instead of going down, he just drops it. And these are like heavy kettlebells. And the one kettlebell, like, bounced down, bounced up, and then just wham into the ground and just put a huge, huge dent in the field. Just enormous kettlebell sized hole in like right center field. And I was like, oh, fuck. And the ground screw came out, just absolutely torched us. And the worst part is, like, you guys have both been to Portland. Like, there's that football field right behind the field. So like we could have been just working out on the football field the whole time we were doing all those field workouts, but we were doing it on the field. So I got motherfucked as well for that one, Joe. So I've learned my lesson, and like the aspect of this that I've learned is like, so whenever I put cones out, I always put them as far as I can on the outfield grass to like the edge of the dirt. So like Fenway in right field is perfect because it has this long straightaway stretch of like 70 yards that I just line the cones up on the edge of the grass with the dirt. So then all of our running takes place like further away. And when we go on the road, I just try to line up accordingly. Some of the cutouts are weird, but I try to like mess the field up as little as possible with our stuff. Actually, we had one when I was in the fall league. One of the other teams had like a star agility. So I had like, I don't know, 7 or 8 cones, and they had to go, and I put it in right field, like where the right fielder stands. and they all did it before the game. And by the time they were done, there was just a star like cut out into the field in right field. And you could see it like from the stands. And I was like, oh my God. But I guess the one thing is like, it was where our right fielder was playing. So it looked like they had like, you know, put a mark out for him. I was like, oh, this is embarrassing. Like swing and a miss on my part. But I mean, if you guys have more stories, I have way more bad field stories. So if you guys want to keep going or I can keep talking. If you
I think for me, like my first thought, like because of that stuff is like, okay, what is the grounds crew guy going to think of what I'm doing right now? And I actually go to our guy and I'm like, hey, is it okay if we do agility today? Like it's only like two guys. So it's not going to be, and like, I go like run it by him first, which like, I probably don't need to do that. But also like, I feel like anytime I'm running some sort of change of direction out on the field, I have like eyes like looking at me from all directions. Like, so it's always something that kind of I keep in the back of my head.
So lesson here, clear it with the grounds crew. We have a guy here in the big leagues that drags a sled and does chain sprints probably once a week, to the point that I like bring it on the road with me. And at home, they kind of understand. We always do it in the dirt, always do it in the dirt. We never do it on the grass. So like at home, they understand it now. They've seen it. But every time we go on the road and I pull the sled out, I get like seven sets of eyes. Just like, what are you doing, buddy? And I'm like, listen, I have to do this with him. We're going to do it on the dirt. Do you mind just dragging the dirt after? Like, we won't mess anything else up. And they're like, oh, yeah. No, that's actually cool that he does it. Like, the whole narrative changes just because I talk to them about it instead of like, yeah, we're doing this. Fuck you. Like, clean up after us. It's like, hey, we're going to do this. Are you okay? Like, we're going to keep it in the dirt. So, again, like, having some court awareness and some common courtesy in that, and the common sense aspect of like doing it in the dirt versus the grass, like, for me, has really helped me in those situations. So,
yeah. I've offered to drag the outfield after guys have pulled sled on it. I'm like, hey, I'll pull the drag across. And they're like, you would? And I'm like, yeah, like, I don't want to ruin your stuff, but like, we got to get it done. And they're like, no, it's cool. Like, we're going to do a pregame again anyways, but thank you.
Casey, you got other stories? I got more
I do. And actually this one happened quite recently, and it wasn't necessarily bad feel, it was actually a good feel that I still got motherfucked for. So it's great. So we're setting up and we're doing some new things. It was kind of on like a, I don't know, we'll just say it was like an easy day for us, where it was supposed to be more of like a show and go. So we had some small little like one-offs where we were just going to do a little bit more like positional agilities with guys, and schedule got a little bit messed up, right? So I like initially planned to do it out like in the warning track area in the field, but they were hitting BP during that time. And I was like, we don't need this to be reactional agilities, so we're just going to wait. So I ended up going back and kind of setting my stuff up behind the turtle, not actually on the field, but again, like in the little like dirt area back there. And what the plan was, it was going to be doing a little bit of like a cone drill to kind of like warm guys up. And then what I was going to do was clear the cones off, and then I was going to bring out an agility ladder. Because one of our coaches really likes it when guys do the agility ladder work. So how I kind of had it set up was cones were in the little dirt area, and then I had my agility ladder off to the side in the grass. And I'm sitting there waiting for guys to come out, because again, the schedule got kind of moved around. We're just kind of sitting there, you know, talking. And I didn't realize it, but then like some of the staff members are like, hey, Casey, that guy wants to talk to you. And I was the head grounds crew guy that had been at this affiliate for like 35 years. And he comes over to me, he's like, hey, yeah, get that out of there. And I was like, wait, what? I'm like kind of taken back, because he was just coming out at me like pretty aggressively. And I said, I'm sorry, like, what did you say? He's like, yeah, get those ladders out of here. We haven't done that shit for 10 years. Like, we're not fucking doing that. Get it off my grass. And I was so taken back. I was like, dude, I haven't done anything yet. And I told him, I was like, hey man, like I was just keeping it there. I was going to bring it over and use it, but yeah, like, don't worry about it. I'll get it. So it just was kind of funny, is like, this guy came out, and even after, and I can see what he means, right? Because I'm sure people have done it in the past. Like, we've all had those experiences, but I mean, I'm talking like, it wasn't even set up and organized. Like, it was just basically kind of like crumbled up to the side, and he thought we were going to start ripping it right there. And funny enough, a couple of days later, it was on Sunday on our getaway day. They ended up having an afternoon game and I'm up in the stands. Like, we get in there a little bit early because we had to check out of the hotel. I'm sipping some coffee and this guy also has this little like dog that he has that he brings to the field. Okay, cool. And it's funny because it kind of got around to staff, like players were there. And after the players saw that and how the interaction went, all the guys were like, we're going to rip up the field. Like, screw this guy. That guy's a, you know, not a good guy. I'm trying not to like curse on here. Anyway, so I'm up there drinking a cup of coffee and I see his little dogs like running around in the outfield doing this, doing that sniff. And then all of a sudden it just squats down and takes a poop. And I send it out to the group chat. I'm like, okay, we can't do any baseball, like, you know, skill development work, but doesn't matter if your dog goes out to center field and takes a crap, like, who cares about that? So I thought it was so funny. And like, at the end of the day, like, the guy probably had some stuff going on. He's probably had some bad experiences, you know, whatever. But it just like ended up being this really comical thing that like the entire staff, we were just like giving each other shit about. And it just was so funny. But again, kind of like an experience of like the intent was to make sure that I wasn't going to mess anything up. But maybe the takeaway on that is like to take the field to the next level is just like don't even give it any type of inclination that you might be doing anything near anything that might get messed up. So, but that was so funny that happened recently. And as soon as we started talking about the grounds crew guys, I was like, oh, I gotta tell this story.
Storm the field with your agility ladders while they're not looking.
Yeah. I love that, right? the players love to like overcompensate on things.
Big
like,
time.
Oh, he doesn't want us to do ladders behind. Fuck that. We're going to tear this whole field apart just to prove a point.
That's what they were saying. They're like,
we're going to the hardware store and getting shovels. We're going to dig a crater in center.
I do have another one. So my first year, I was in Bristol, rookie ball. And we got these really cool Pirate Strong shirts. I was working with the Pirates. Long sleeve, black, you know, the barbell, the whole nine yards. This is my first year in pro ball. I'm like juiced up to be, you know, working for a pro organization, whatever. So the coaches were like, I don't know, we had an off day or like a day. I think we had a day game. And the coaches are like, well, let's go to get some food. Well, there's only like two restaurants in all of Bristol. So we go to Quaker Steak and Lube for wings. I wear the long sleeve Pirates workout shirt and a pair of shorts because I'm proud to like work for the organization. I'm jacked up. Like, we get there and there's a bunch of players there and they all just like kind of side eye me and, you know, they're kind of smirking, whatever, they're giggling. So fast forward a couple of days, whatever, we do kangaroo court, right? Chris, you got to come in. You got to see this. This is my first, you know, my first experience kangaroo court, being in the box, whatever. So they're going through the fines. So I get max fine $1 for wearing the Pirates shirt out to the restaurant. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, nobody told me you're not supposed to do this. And they're like, dude, you can't wear like team gear outside in town. Like, the goal is to not let people know you work for the team. Like, nobody should know because then they're going to bother you, you know, blah, 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 the whole nine yards. So now, like, obviously, you know, you learn that along the way, but my lesson in this is like sometimes learning things that you have to have feel on, you have to learn them the hard way. Like, I didn't know. And I told them like, hey, nobody told me this. And they're like, well, nobody's going to tell you every unwritten rule. Like, sometimes you're just going to have to find out the hard way. Your hard way is you have to pay $1 into the kangaroo court box. So with that being said, like, that's one of the things is like dressing appropriately away from the field. Like, we've had issues. I don't want to say issues. We've had situations where our players don't wear things that are necessarily appropriate on the bus or, you know, to the field or whatever. And I'm sure, Casey, you've seen that in your org, and anybody that's listening, I'm sure, has seen guys wear some questionable stuff to the field. You know, you happen to pass guys at a restaurant or something, you know, in the minor leagues, there's only so many restaurants next to hotels. Like, you see them there and they're wearing some questionable stuff, or you're wearing questionable stuff. Like, that's probably another aspect that doesn't necessarily get taught when you first get in, but that is something that, like, you know, you can have some good or some bad feel with. I don't know if you guys have experience with like clothing or anything like that, but that's one of the areas too that's kind of like that soft spot that nobody tells you, like, hey, you're not supposed to wear this stuff away. And then like you see a coach, like, first year they're super jacked up and they're wearing like Red Sox sweatshirt out at, like, you know, you see him at Target or something and you're like, that's not a good look, buddy.
Yeah, I definitely there are some things you have to learn the hard way, right? And like part of the learning process is like learning from your failures. And while it's like, you know, a really small failure to like wear your team shit out, like when you're at the store or whatever and you get caught, like no one tells you that, but that's literally how you're gonna learn it. So, you know, if there was a manual on unwritten rules, then they wouldn't be called unwritten rules to begin with, right? So they're just things that you learn along the way, for sure. So yeah, I think things like that, like we've all probably been guilty of doing that at some point in time. Like I know there's, at least for me now, there you can probably get away with a little bit more wiggle room being wearing a Red Sox shirt up in like Portland, Maine. People are just gonna assume you're a Red Sox fan. But yeah, stuff like that, I think you get taught just through like getting ragged on. And one of the things that you made me think of while you were saying that was my throat is freaking killing me, these allergies. One of the things I was thinking about while you were saying that is like, if somebody's ragging on you for the same thing, like more than once, or like a group of people are kind of like hinting towards the same thing, like that's kind of your key to know, like, okay, maybe I need to make an adjustment. And I don't know if you see that as much anymore. Like someone will be like, hey dude, nice sandals, like gotta get those tan, you know, gotta get the tan line off your socks from spring training. And then the next week, oh hey, like same sandals, huh? And yeah, eventually like people are hinting for you to change it without actually saying change your effing sandals, like wear shoes to the park. And you just have to have, it goes back to your court awareness, like you just have to have the awareness that like when people are making the same comment over and over again, like it's probably an adjustment that needs to be made, and you got to recognize that.
Yeah, so it's funny, this wasn't necessarily an experience of mine, but this is probably a good one to put out there. But I'd say like a time of not having great feel is if you don't take the time, whether it's new to the field or like new to an organization or just really wherever you're at, but you don't take the time to know the important people. We had an incident where, so our team president, he likes to work out in the facility, which is great. Like that's awesome. Like he really values S&C. And he was working out in there, and we had a staff member go up to him like mid workout. He's like, hey, I don't think I've met you before. Like, you know, I'm so-and-so. And he's like, oh, well, you know, I'm so-and-so as well. And then the other guy proceeded to say, he's like, okay, like, you know, I'm the strength coach. Like, what do you do here? And it's like, oh, you just asked the team president, like, what he does. So that is in the Blue Jays, what we do too is, like, we have everybody posted on a wall, like, in the weight room too, of, like, who's all the major league staff, who, like, just who's everybody around here. But that was... as soon as I heard that, I was like, dude, my stomach dropped for you. So I think that's like an important one too, is just, you know the people in the org, like study that. I know they're going to give out the material wherever you're at, but that would be a case of having some very, very bad feel. But I think at the end though, right? Like all these situations we're talking about, it's not necessarily what happens to you. It's like, how do you make those adjustments after the fact? So it's like safe to say that person's, you know, always going to make sure that they look at who does what at whatever job they have. So, but yeah, that was a good one.
So in regards to that, so we had somebody who was eating with our major league manager, and he had no idea it was the major league manager. So after that, I took it upon myself to like introduce the kid to the important people you're talking about. And then even this year, like our interns, I was like, all right, you're coming with me. I'm going to introduce you to this person, this person, this person, so that at least you know, and they know. And then in regards to Joe's comments, like guys hinting at adjustments and like hinting at bad feel or whatever, like that's one of the things that if you aren't in baseball, I don't know if it happens other places, but it happens all the time in baseball where people will throw like subtle jabs instead of being direct with you about things. And for me, I'm very direct on a lot of things. Like I'll still throw the jabs, but when I need something to get done, I'll tell them like, hey, don't wear flip-flops in the weight room, like period. And it gets this weird reputation for me for certain people who have been in the game a long time, because they're so used to like hinting at things without being direct. And they're like, oh my God, you told that guy off right to his face. I'm like, yeah, I need him to do this. Like, I don't know. I don't know any other way. So like, you can see some guys can handle it and some guys can't. And then on the flip side, when people come at you, like really, you have to, one, you have to have tough skin to be in the game, but two, you can't take anything personally. And it's been said a lot on this podcast, but if you're going to be successful in professional baseball, like you can't take things personally. Just there's so much time together that at some point somebody's going to be having a bad day. They're going to say something to you that you don't agree with, whatever. Like, you can't take it as a personal shot at you. But at the same time, like if guys are like hinting at things, like you have to make the adjustment. Like you can't dig in against it. And that was what happened to me with that t-shirt situation. Like I got fined, and instead of like, all right, whatever, I'll pay the fine. At first I was like, I'm not paying that fine. Like you guys didn't tell me this. This isn't a thing, like blah, 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 blah. And I fought against it, and guys were like, all right, I'm kind of out on this guy. And then like I had my coming to Jesus moment. Like I realized like I'm being stupid. Just pay the dollar and you're fine. Like you, if you push back against it, it, one, they're probably going to dig in harder against you. And two, like they're probably not going to be as bought into things that you need. So like being able to laugh at yourself and like not take things personally, I think is really huge when it comes to having some feel. And
it's then, your rite of passage.
Yes. 100%.
It is.
100%. So, the other one that I wanted to talk about before we move on to like good feel is like crushing spread.
And we haven't talked about food yet.
Yeah. And along with that, I don't know if you guys have had this, but when players move up, like historically in my career here, when a guy comes to me from another affiliate, the first thing they want to tell me is how the strength coaches at that affiliate are doing. So for us, like a guy comes like, hey, your AAA guy's doing a great job. I'm going to shoot him a text like, hey, I heard you're doing a great job. Keep it up. Or on the flip side, like, hey, your high A guy has been crushing spread. Like he's eaten food before any of the players do. Can you talk to him? Like, hey, I heard this is happening. Like, what do you think? So like it's gotten me in trouble in the past because players have moved up and I've tried to reach out and it's like, well, that's not your job, whatever. But like, we're all just here to help each other. So with that being said, like the food thing, like crushing the spread, like you shouldn't be eating before the players type of deal. Have you guys had that where you got in trouble for that, or somebody was talking shit, or you've heard the story, or just like in general, like talking about the food before we move on to like having good feel?
Yeah, I think so. I'm sure I haven't always been the most we'll say disciplined to following the rule at times, but hopping in before a player, I'm sure I have in the past at some point. But you know, it's always kind of been a standard for me, and I think you go through it when like you're kind of responsible for, you understand like what goes into getting the food or the amount of food that you get, and the evolution of like what we've been allocated for money and the type of like impact that nutrition is having within the game now, and the value that orgs are putting on it has definitely like allowed me to see like the value in those little nuances of like making sure the players eat first. And you know, I've always kind of gone that route, because I know there's been points in time where I'm like, shit, I don't know if we're gonna feed everyone, so like if anyone's not gonna eat, it's gonna be me, not one of the players. But certainly now, like I think with COVID in particular, like a lot of things have been individually ordered, like individually boxed. So it does make it a little bit easier to ensure that everybody's going to eat. However, I still kind of take the stance that like, you know, if there's a steak option and a chicken option, like I'd, I'd like to have the player at least be able to choose whether he gets steak or chicken versus me. but I will say that in the days of the buffet line, there's certainly been people, you know, other staff members or whatever, interns, video people, whatever it may be, that have, like, you know, everybody knows, like, oh, this guy's gonna grab the food first because, like, he doesn't really understand, like, the you can call it a pecking order of, like, how people should be served and when people should be served and stuff like that. And when you see it from the player's perspective and you hear the rumblings of, like, what they're saying, you're like, yeah, I definitely don't want to be that guy. And I think that goes back to, like, the same, you know, same, like, we were talking about before, is, like, you have to learn the hard way, but, like, sometimes you can learn from somebody else's, like, from someone else's mistake and be like, oh shit, I definitely don't want to be looked at as that person. So yeah, I think with the way we have, like, food, and there's so much more, like, financial resources dedicated to food, I do think it makes it a little bit easier to, like, grab food sooner. But it's still something that's on my mind. Like, okay, you can tell the steak was a popular option, people aren't feeling the shrimp today, like, I'll probably grab a shrimp, even though I'm not a big, like, super big on shrimp. But you know, I tend to choose the least popular of the options, as long as I'm not super picky. But choosing that stuff just to make sure guys have, you know, have something that they're gonna enjoy.
Yeah, I
agree. Casey, anything to add?
We definitely got some people where, like, rovers that come through, and it just, I mean, I'll say at the end of the day, right? Like, the whole rite of passage, like, that's just kind of, when you think of baseball, we're playing every day. It's a grind, and it's just a lot of this, like, the shit talking, like, the having the feel, like, that's honestly what makes the job so great, though, is because you're with everybody all the time. And if we were serious all the time, I think people would probably be at each other's throats, just because it's just not a good way to kind of live life. But yeah, it's like, you definitely got those folks where it's like, oh, spread killers back in town, like, watch. And it's just kind of, like, so funny hearing that stuff, and you try and work with people on it. But I'll say, even too, to, like, what Joe is saying, is I think back to my first couple of years, and I haven't even really been around that long, but, like, back to 2018 and 19, it was definitely one of those things where the budget wasn't nearly what it was or what it is now. So it's much more being hyper, like, I mean, I literally remember just going around and, like, checking with each guy, like, hey, did you get food? Did you get food? Did you get food? Also, it was younger guys too, versus now working up in AA, but I definitely don't worry about that piece as much anymore. Not to say that I'm, like, going in there, crushing food, but it's just more so in the sense of, like, we are very fortunate that we don't have to worry about it as much anymore. So it's not like even playing my role in that too, of, like, having to go search for guys to make sure that they're getting it, or being ready to make a phone call of, like, hey, we need to get extra food. So I think that's something that's been really good. I mean, it sounds like probably, you know, baseball wide, but at least for our org, is that something that they've really valued, to where, like, hey, like, we're not going to let a guy go hungry or have to have him go order food from someplace else. So
here's a feel moment, like, in general from, again, my first year. And I think this is another reason why I am the way I am, because of this experience. But my first ever baseball game in professional baseball, you know, was responsible for ordering the food back, you know, back in the day. Any of the younger coaches listening are going to be like, and we're not even old, we're in the middle of it, but the newer coaches are going to be like, wait, that's how things used to be. Like, you know, you used to go in my early career, you used to go to the clubby on the road and be like, hey, what are we having for post game, and how much money do I need to collect from everybody to pay for whatever we're going to get, whatever you're going to make us, right? When you're, like, in between loads of laundry and, like, running balls to the dugout, like, what are you going to make us for food?
Slow cooker meatballs.
Oh my goodness. So the first, like, my first ever game, I just reached out to them ahead of time, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, we're doing breakfast for dinner tonight. And I'm like, okay, like that, yeah, like cool, eggs, bacon, French toast, whatever. So I go in like the sixth or seventh inning, and just to make sure it's all good, I'm helping them set up, and there's like one pan of scrambled eggs, like one half pan of bacon, and like, you know, some French toast with like a couple things of fruit. And I'm like, okay, like doesn't seem like a lot, but I don't really know the dynamic. This is literally the first meal I've ever coordinated. And it was what, like, I don't know, $125 got us. So we come in, we end up blowing the game like in the eighth or something. So everyone's kind of pissed off opening night, and they go through the spread line, and like, it's gone with like half the team still left to eat. And I'm like, oh shit, like, oh, that's not on me. Like the guys, like, you gotta be considerate, but like none of the coaches ate or anything like that. And like our manager was like very, very upset that there was no food like plated for him, like in his office. And he screamed, like chewed me out. Like the manager's the one who's supposed to be eating first. Like, you know, there needs to be food in our, in my office, like on my desk waiting for me after the game, like a little older school, like overall, but like, those are kind of the times we were in. And it just, that was one of the things that stuck with me too. Like from my first year was like, I will never go through getting, you know, getting chewed out like that. And I will always make sure there's enough food. Cause you know, you've been booed by like four or five guys when they don't get the food they want. Like imagine getting booed by like 20 guys all at the same time because there was no food. And that's another thing I talk with like our interns and assistants about is like, you know, at the end of the day, it's not, you know, it's not a life or death thing, right? Like you're going to be able to get some food. Like it's an inconvenience. And especially like when people are hangry, like it, you know, brings out the worst in them. But you need to experience like what it feels like to be like, to have hungry, angry players like yelling at you about where the food is, to know like, okay, I'm never going to do that again. And that, like, that is the example that I, that sticks with me as well. Like I got to make sure everybody eats. And like, if that means I don't eat for 3 days, but like all the players eat and, no, I don't get yelled at, then that's fine. I would rather not get yelled at and go hungry than the other way around.
So I have 3 points here. So the first one, subtle in this, but take care of your manager is a huge, huge field point. Like my first year in AA, I did everything for the manager. And when something came up with a player, he was on my side, like 100%, like brought the player into the office, like let him know, like you have to listen to what Chris says, like he's got your best interest, blah, blah, blah. So like taking care of your manager is a really, really important point in that, that I don't want to be missed. Like the second one is, you know, after the game, like usually I'll go in, I'll do my report, my post-game reports, and then I'll sit down with the head guy and we'll go over the next day's schedule. And then by then, usually guys have kind of gotten the food and everything. And in the big leagues, like you're never going to run out of food. But the point is like letting the players kind of have some time to filter in. Whether they do that or not is their own prerogative. Like some guys will sit on their phone for 30 minutes or whatever. But like if you give that little bit of like discretionary time, that cushion of time, like usually most guys are going to get the food to the point where you're not going to look like a spread killer. If you're up in the line as soon as the game's over, like that's not always the greatest thing. And then the other one is like, I've told some of my, our other minor league guys is like minor league players. Now they get paid a little more, but when, you know, when I was coming up through the system, like they didn't really get paid a lot. So it's like, we're providing food. And at least if they eat, that's a good thing, right? Like we're all full time. We have salaries, whatever. Like we make enough money that if we run out of food in the spread line, we can buy our own food. We can Uber Eat something. We can go out to a restaurant, whatever. Where if the players don't eat, again, this is back in the day when there wasn't as much allocated to food or whatever, but like they might not actually have enough money to go buy food. So they might go to like McDonald's or Taco Bell or something that's cheap, and then they're eating, you know, shittier food. So like having that perspective of like, if we do end up running out of food, which it has happened probably to everybody that's listening at some point, at least if the players eat, like, that we can go figure out food for ourselves versus like, oh, well, I ate, so I'm satisfied. And player X played shortstop tonight and he didn't get anything. So now he's going to go to Taco Bell, or he's just going to go home and not eat anything. And then he's going to be behind recovery wise. So like just shifting the mindset, like Joe talked about earlier, to like the bigger picture, and like understanding that at the end of the day, like the only guys playing the game are the players. Like if we can take care of them and make sure they're okay, I think usually we're in a good spot. They can kind of tell when you have their best interests at heart. And if you make a mistake, they're going to let you know. And like we talked about, if you don't take it personal, like all is well that ends well. But that's kind of where, you know, I kind of see things with the food. And then Joe, like you said, it's not, nothing in baseball, relatively speaking, is life or death. Like most of us are going to wake up tomorrow, go to the ballpark, deal with, you know, petty stuff and stupid things, but like, it's not going to cost us our life. And you know, we're going to be able to do it again tomorrow. So like, it is annoying, it is frustrating, and like dealing with hangry people is a real thing, including ourselves. Like we get hangry too. But just kind of understanding, like, let's take care of the players first, take care of that. And with the food, especially, like the food and the clubhouse are like, if those things are taken care of, most people are going to be happy most of the time. And if you can keep most people happy, you're probably doing a good job.
All right, everybody, that's going to conclude part one of our two-part episode with Joe and Casey. I hope you enjoyed this one. To be honest, I had a lot of fun recording this one and sharing stories with these guys. I think if you're ever in professional baseball, either now or in the future, you're going to hear the term have some feel. And so for me, I thought it was an important topic to discuss. And, you know, this first part really didn't disappoint. It was good to hear, you know, from the failures that they've experienced over the years and how they were able to grow and learn from them. And so I hope you took a lot of notes and I hope you took a lot of lessons. The three things that I took from the guys in this episode: try to understand where your plans fit in the bigger picture of the daily operations. Sometimes you have to learn things from failures or other negative experiences, and know the people in your organization and what they do. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.